Though it is not the reading that we have heard today and from St. Paul, I would like to begin reminding us of one of Paul's image from the second letter to the Corinthians, the image of the earthen vessel. In that beautiful image that Paul offers us, he reminds us that we're like earthen vessels that carry a hidden treasure within, a divine treasure, a gift of God. And Paul reminds us in that teaching, that in that letter, that this treasure is in this earthen vessel, so that we will remember that this great grace, this wonderful, amazing grace, is God's gift, and it has very little to do with ourselves. We're just the clay vessel that carries the gift of God. Many times we are aware that this vessel is somewhat cracked, fragile, broken. Our earthen vessel has its limitations, often even filled with some of our own sin. And yet what our readings point to us today in many different ways is that these cracks, this brokenness, this fragility, can, through the grace of God, allow the light of God, that treasure within, to bleed out through the cracks and touch the world around us. Shine light into the world around us. In and of themselves, our fragility, our limitations, our brokenness do not add up to much at all. It's no great virtue to be broken and sinful. But this is where the Paschal mystery comes into play. Our simple clay vessel, in and of itself, is just a clump of clay. But filled with the treasure, it is a sign of God's reign, an instrument that can bring God's light into the world. There's a story told of one of the early desert fathers, Abba Poma, who was asked one day to go to a nearby village in the desert to judge a sinner. There was a public judging of a sinner that was to happen. And so before he left with the other companions to go off and judge the sinner, he grabbed a big earthen jar, filled it up with water, and began to walk with his companions to the nearby village. About halfway along, one of the people that was walking with Abba Poma noticed that the big earthen jug that he was carrying was cracked, and that the water was actually dripping out behind him. And they said to him, "Father Abba, the water is falling, is dripping out. You're losing the water that you're taking to drink along the way." And Abba Poma stopped in his tracks and looked back and saw this trail of water. And he said, "Here I am, off to judge one of my own brothers, while I leave a trail of my own sins behind me." Abba Poma was allowing his own life of sin and brokenness to shine through with a light of God's grace and mercy. He knew that sinfulness can be taken up into the great Paschal mystery of God and used as an instrument of God's mercy. Today, in our reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 16, we could almost feel in our own hearts this pain of Isaiah, as he looks out and he realizes that God is calling him, and he feels so unworthy, so worthless, so nothing. He says, "But I'm just a man of impure lips, and I live among a people of impure lips. How could you ever call me God? I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm broken, I'm sinful." Impurity of lips, of course, is not a virtue we want to seek. But what happens if God touches our impure lips, kisses them, anoints them with a word of mercy and life, and then sends us out to preach? What do we do then? We go out and preach. We go out with our stuttering tongue and our broken clay vessel, and we let the light flow out of the cracks of our heart, and we give witness to the mercy of God. That's about all we can do. That's what Moses did, someone who actually had killed someone early in his life. Isaiah, in today's reading. Jeremiah, who said, I'm too young to talk about God. Peter, who fumbled the whole way as he followed Christ, always getting into some kind of trouble, sticking his foot in his mouth. Paul, who also stood by and watched someone being murdered. Mary Magdalene, who struggled with so many of her own limitations in life. All these people were sinners. And all these people were preachers, people called by God to proclaim the reign of God. That's what we're called to do. That's all we can do, is allow our brokenness to become an instrument of God's grace. And when we are able to do that, it becomes clear that this work, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, is God's work and not ours. When this happens in our brokenness, what Gerald May calls our incompleteness actually becomes an instrument of God's amazing grace. The light shines through the cracks in our heart. Our sins, then, are like a trail of wet sand that follows us. But if God chooses to use that wet sand to plant a beautiful garden, then what can we do but weep and give thanks? Simon and his companions in today's gospel from Luke chapter 5 are exhausted, feeling worthless and empty. Another long night with nothing to show for their efforts. They've caught no fish, and they feel like that they're at the end of their road. Nothing. In the words of John of the Cross, nada, nada, nada. Have we ever felt like that? Have we ever experienced that long, dark night of nothingness? Have we ever looked out at our world, looked at the newspapers, looked at our own church sometimes, or even looked deep into our own hearts and just see nothing? Nothing that seems worthwhile, no sign of hope, no light, just a hump of broken pieces of an old earthen jar. That's what Simon and his fishing companions felt like in today's gospel. Worthless, broken, empty. Go into the deeper waters, Jesus said to them, and throw in your nets. Trust me. But Lord, we've fished all night and caught nothing. Trust me. Trust me. Let me use your brokenness as a vessel of grace. Let me anoint your unclean lips to preach a word of joy and healing and peace to the world. Jesus did not call saints to be his disciples. He called sinners, sinners with cracks in their hearts, with parched and cracked lips, to follow him, to trust him. To trust and to believe that this marvelous grace belongs to God and not to us. Throw your nets into the deep waters of my mercy and love. Trust, trust, trust. Simon, upon seeing the huge number of fish that they caught after the night of nothingness, could do only one thing. Throw himself at Jesus' feet and say, I'm a sinner. Yes, that's about all any of us can do. We're all sinners. We're all people of unclean lips, living in a broken, sinful, greedy, war-ravaged world. But are we willing to let God transform our unclean lips and cracked hearts into instruments of God's power and grace? Isn't that what St. Paul did? The very same man who stood by and gave his approving nod as Stephen was violently stoned by a mob of religious fanatics. That very same Saul became Paul, the apostle to the impure, the unclean, the pagans. It was Paul who heard God say in the depths of his fragile, sinful, broken heart, my grace is enough for you. So here we are today, standing next to Simon and his fishing companions, utterly amazed, overwhelmed by God's grace. After long nights of nothingness, Jesus points us to the deep waters of God's abundance, and we are literally flooded by grace. Like Simon Peter, God's goodness makes us even more conscious of our sinfulness and brokenness. We throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and weep. But this time it's different. Though aware of our sins, we feel a kind of deep joy. An unexpected smile breaks through our tears, and we almost want to laugh out loud. How can God be so good? It is the tearful joy of God's mercy and love that we are called to proclaim to the world. If we keep beating ourselves up because of our sins, we'll never be able to laugh at the crazy love of God. Jesus helps us to see the cracks in our hearts, and then he says to us what he said to Simon. Don't be afraid. Throw your nets into the deep waters of my mercy. From now on, you will be fishers of other people. So we laugh and we cry at the same time. God is the mad lover, as St. Catherine of Siena called him. This mad lover who turns our broken hearts into good news, into gospel. In the very same deep waters where we come face to face with our nothingness, we also see and experience the unfathomable grace and mercy of God. The only natural response, once we have discovered this deep waters of mercy and grace, is to sing and to dance, to cry tears of joy, and to proclaim, in the way that the ancient prophets proclaimed, the reign of God is near.